Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for August 21st. And my name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael and everyone. Glad to be here.
And before we get going on our topic, of course, we welcome those joining us live as well as those listening to the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And as always, we will start with our abbreviated principles of belief. 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives the death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can learn more about these principles and metaphysics at metaphysicalhumanism.com, or .org, excuse me.
.org. Good job, Michael. Well done.
Been so spoiled tonight, by commercials for .com.
That's true. That's true. I'm glad to see everybody here. You know, we're zeroing in on the end of August already. Wow.
I know.
It's gone by fast this year.
2019 is...
Yeah, I know. It's all perception, isn't it? We're going to talk about perceptions and perspectives tonight. And part of what Michael and I were talking last week that led into this subject about how, you know, we can all see the same thing but differently. And for me, that really hit home back in the 70s with my late hypnosis teacher. He put a coffee mug on the coffee table, a bunch of us sitting around, and he said, "What do you see?" And I said, "Well, I see a coffee mug." And he said, "Well, you see the handle on the right, I see it on the left." Okay. Let's turn it. You know, he turned it another quarter degree, and he said, "Now what do you see?" I said, "I see a coffee mug." He said, "Is it?" He said, "Because you don't see a handle." So he said, reality is all about perceptions and perspectives. And, you know, but we have a mutual reality and what we all agree to. So we've all agreed that this vessel is a vessel that could be used for potting plants or whatever else, but it's a vessel with a handle on it. So now it's, you know, a cup, a mug, whatever we choose to call it. But we can all agree in this mutual reality of, you know, in our perception of what we're going to use this for, which can be a myriad of things. But in a culture, we might call it a mug. Other people call it a cup. Other people call it something else. But nonetheless, we agree that liquid goes into that, and therefore. So perception and perspectives, to me, there's just a little bit of a difference in that a perspective is looking at one thing from different angles. But the perception would be what that means, a belief system or how you go along with that. And I know I looked up the meanings before the program tonight, you know, actual definitions. And I'm glad to see that it was pretty much, you know, in line with what the dictionary said. So at least I either read a dictionary years ago with that, or I actually had a good thought and the dictionary backed me up. So I'm not sure which. But so it really is that what kind of perspective we have when we all look at a tree or we all look at a home, you know, and what that is. But the belief system is our perceptions. And then again, I go more into our perceptions of reality. And that goes with, again, the belief systems. So I've had a couple of situations in the last month where, with people, where it's really very clear that there's little or nothing to talk about because we have completely different perceptions of life. You know, whether it's matters of philosophy, religion, politics, like they're way over there and I'm way over here, but I don't think I'm so far over here except when I'm compared to them being way over there. Does that make sense? So,
absolutely.
You know, when I'm thinking nine principles of belief and do no harm.
Well, I think, Dr. Hunter, if you can still hear me. Oh, we lost you for about 5 seconds there. I'm sorry, but you're back now.
Oh, that's good to know. I'm not in the ether. Okay. So it's just how we can all be so different, but what is our shared reality? And I think that's ultimately, you know, we go with the nine principles of belief and, mm-hmm. and our general feelings. I think it's so universal in those in those principles that they apply anywhere. But when you attach, when you look at it from a very radicalized dogma and look at the nine, you know, principles, you're going to take those principles and put them into your dogmatic thinking rather than being more universal and just looking out at religions from different perceptions, if that makes sense. You know, it's like everybody has a different perception of what that is. I've particularly noted it in the past month. And don't get me wrong, I've thought about this my whole life, but I've had cause to be impacted by this more on people who have money. And, you know, their matters of finance, their dilemma of the day is the bank wouldn't automatically give me $2 million to buy more land. And I'm going, whoa, I'm gobsmacked by that because that's not my daily kind of conversation. But it is to them. And that's, again, perceptions of life, you know. And so when people have all of their needs provided and the struggle is relative to their reality, that doesn't mean they're exempt from anything anybody else has, like possibly cancer, loss of loved ones, you know, because life is going to happen. Life is that universal experience. But when you come from a place of absolute comfort in that, you don't worry about paying for a funeral or paying for these other things, and you can go hire the best counselors or you can go and you have access to more, which is very different than someone who has no money. Mm-hmm. And dealing with that. But how do those two people have a conversation, one with a lot of money and one without? Well, in my lifetime, having met all kinds of people from all walks of life of different economic status, as long as we're speaking from a spiritual point of view, we have a shared perception. See, and spirit to me is non-judgmental. We're working through challenges of life. But again, you take that away and I'm no longer in a counseling position, then it becomes, whoa, we see this planet really different.
You know? Oh, absolutely. And I've always prided myself on being able to find common ground with most people and cross the aisle when I need to, things like that. But I can very much relate to what you're alluding to about, you're talking about, different realities. You see reality different based on perceptions and underlying beliefs and your perspective in the world. People that have money and have those issues have different perspectives in the socioeconomic spectrum and therefore see a different reality. And then their beliefs and perceptions will fit that perspective into a pre-existing narrative. And we all do it to a degree, but I think one of the most important things about perceptions and perspectives is to realize that ours is not the only one, and that life is big. It is literally impossible to conceive big.
Yeah.
Therefore, we have to put our own, perspective and perception in that context of such an enormous and infinite existence that we're seeing a sliver of it.
Well, and in our perceptions of reality, that same hypnosis teacher of mine would say, he had a favorite saying about when we have these, how we perceive life in our belief systems. He said, if you don't like the God you have, fire him and hire a new one.
Well
said. Because he would say that your belief in a God is your perspective. That's just how you perceive it and what you've attached to believe in. But you have the choice about what you're believing in. And he would always try to impart that. Now, maybe at being, a very impressionable early 20s age, it really struck me. And I have since had a situation years ago where I've used this many times since, I've asked somebody, what's your religion of choice? And they look at me like dumbfounded. What do you mean? Of course I'm a Christian. I say, well, you say, of course I'm a Christian, but that's your religion of choice. Well, that's how I was raised. I say, well, because that became your perception for reality.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean it's the only one. And but, it's such a shock for people to imagine, because it's right at the core of what they believe their existence is and how they perceive reality, that it shatters pretty easily,
Mm-hmm.
They're offended by that. But that's part of being a metaphysician, is to be open-minded and observe different perspectives. And finding that universal one, the one that, as you said, Michael, where you can generally find some kind of common ground with people. What is our shared reality,
right,
and what is it that we can all agree on?
Which
is how we get there to our goal might be different.
Yeah, I mean, and what we can agree on, the shared reality. I know it's very chic to say that, what we would consider our shared reality is in danger now because facts are alternative facts. And this is pervasive all across all spectrums of society. This is a national conversation, international conversation we're having. And, I think about it, but I realize this has been going on for a very long time. This is nothing new. And people have been debating what is reality and what is the agreed upon reality, what is history. The old adage, the history is written by the victors. Largely true, but enough time passes and you can see what the victors actually did as well. But the key thing is that there are core truths that are just blatantly obvious, and that there is a shared reality. But I really, really, really aligned with what you were saying earlier, that it's been my experience, especially of late, that there are people that I just realize they see an entirely different world than I see. I would, of course, make a joke that of course the sky is blue, but in their world it's green, and they just see it that way. And it has been difficult to find a way to communicate effectively. And that's really all we're trying to do, is to communicate effectively our intentions and desires. But with somebody that sees an entirely different universe and an entirely different set of problems, how do you address those?
Well, I think this is the caution for all of us, to be aware when we can be manipulated. Because I think, look, we're all susceptible to that.
Mm-hmm.
We're all influenced in one way or another, and it's not, I don't know how many of our listeners would know this, but Sigmund Freud's nephew, Edward Bernays, he was like the one who launched marketing, public marketing, sales marketing in the 1920s. And he had a way to convince everybody that smoking was good for you. And he made it cool and trendy. And it didn't take long, of course, to sell cigarettes. you know, to have everybody smoking because it's okay and good for you. And from there, I mean, our societies in sales and marketing took on a whole new, I mean, I think it had been going on long before that, but he coined that marketing into something really saleable on a mass scale. And of course, right at the precipice of radio, moving pictures, and, you know, not too long after it was television. And keep in mind that this is less than 100 years ago. So there's always been a way to sway public opinion, whether it's through force or, you know, passive-aggressive seduction. There's many ways to sway a population. But in the last 100 years, that's been really amplified. And we can all be susceptible to an influence that's not of our own mind. And I think as metaphysicians, I can't emphasize that enough about how to keep returning to the self to say, whoa, what is my reality and what's a universal reality and how can I see something from a different perspective, mm-hmm. but still keep in keeping with my own.
Well,
Matt says it's such a huge topic. It deserves a degree program of its own. You know, Matt, I'll tell you what, the IMHS and TFU programs really do address reality. And it's all about who you are, what you are, seeing things from different points of view, opening your mind and checking in with yourself in a really healthy way. Mm-hmm. So it is, I believe that this is threaded throughout the entire degree program. It's just
critical
maybe
life
not
skills.
Exactly.
Critical and, thinking.
And how we deductive, inductive reasoning, how we kind of, you know, check in with ourselves, like the who am I and what am I seeing and how can I analyze it differently. And that's our challenge, is to see it both from a scientific point of view as well as a metaphysical point of view or spiritual point of view. I've been having a discussion with somebody who's waiting for medical test results, and I keep emphasizing to her, wait till you get the science. Don't get ahead of yourself. Wait till you get all your test results back, you know, and because I'm with you, I don't disagree with you, but we can't go ahead just on intuition or speculation or, you know, because that's fear-based, and we want to get away from fear-based, and let's combine the science with what you're saying in a course of action for yourself. So we want to look at that, but then again, what is science? And in this day and age, and in true Bernays form, twisting science, you can look at something again with perspective, look at it from several different points of view and speculate many answers. I think that you can be, even in blood work, you could be the lower end of normal, what they consider normal, which doctors would shrug it off, but that lower end of normal is huge for you, you know? So it's that perspective and knowing who you are, how you function, how you think, and keeping an open mind. You know, so I didn't mean to ramble on in that, but it's really a tough one. But I want to just reinforce to Matt that I think the entire IMHS program is about perceptions and being able to move our minds over to see things a little bit differently. But it all begins with the self. I know that sounds so cliche. Philosophically cliche.
But it is metaphysics, the examination of awareness of what it means to exist, to be a thinking creature in this world or in this universe, this dimension.
Yeah.
The multiverse. Yeah. Which, again, you know, brings to mind perspective. And you can't have a discussion about perspective without discussing scale. And the fact that this is mostly a thought experiment to expand the mind to what is possible and to what is reality in a different perspective. So you have things on the micro level. You have, if you can zoom in on any drop of water, you'll see an immense ecosystem of cellular life and multicellular life, tardigrades or the water bear, a very ancient organism that's been around and will probably survive many, many things in this world for millennia to come. But you have an entire universe unto itself in a small droplet of water. You pull back out, you have the earth, you have our natural beauty, you have the oceans, you have the forests, you have all of it. You pull back out, you can see our solar system, you see the earth and our neighboring planets, the sun at the center. You pull back out, you notice this massive fireball in the sky is simply a small dot, a speck of light moving with other specks of light, always moving in a galaxy that is itself moving. You pull back further, you notice that this galaxy is merely one of a network of billions of galaxies, all strung across the known universe in these magnificent giant strands. And you pull back and you pull back, and what we know of the known universe, of these immense galactic filaments they're called, it, if you look at a artist rendering or even what we can see of it, it almost makes you think of a brain, of synapses and the connections, and it's an interesting thought. I don't know where exactly you go, except other than the universal consciousness is itself, I mean...
Well, I think what you're saying, too, is what many astronauts have said when they come back to Earth, that you never see Earth and life the same again.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you don't unsee that. When you alter your consciousness to step back and see it from what you're describing, Michael, you then get back into your reality, getting about your daily life, and you don't see it the same way because your consciousness has been changed, your view has been changed, perspective, perceptions, everything has shifted.
Well, and what once seemed like a big deal no longer does, and what once was important no longer is, because you see the reality of what life is, and you realize what's important and what's not.
Well, and age will do that. You know, you see life a certain way in adolescence versus menopause versus other times, you know, and there's a perception of life that begins to change. You know, there's your priorities are different. You know, I say raising kids, I was being self-employed, probably more available than most parents who are working. And yet I can say I wasn't always emotionally available because I had so many other things to think about, even while we're coloring in a coloring book. Now, as a grandparent, you know, I sit with the kids. I'm not thinking about anything but them. I'm emotionally available. So the perception, it's changed. You know, and I can say I won't worry about picking up, you know, the groceries for the snacks for the kids because we'll get there. But when you're young, it's a priority. Oh, my God, how am I going to fit this in? It's control and making sure you have order and you chill with it. So that's, again, a different perception of life. People worrying about kids and behaviors. And I'm saying, oh, they look like a kid to me. But again, it's... there's so many attachments, whether it's I guess what I'd like to begin with is how we're raised and in a particular reality. If you're raised with nannies and, you know, meals are provided, you haven't had to do chores, that's your reality. And it's really tough to not want to look for a partner who's going to provide all your needs for you. Versus the other way, and again, I'm going to another extreme, of you've had to work really hard for everything you've had. Things didn't come easily. There was always a budget, you know, and geez, how are we going to make this paycheck last till the end of the month? And so anything you extra that you have, there's a different kind of gratitude, you see, and say, whoa, I think we can get pizza this month, you know, and that's a big deal. So people living in really extreme realities and perceptions, they're not going to think about, oh, the universe is kind of comparable to the synapses in the brain, but it could be a good pastime thought. But I'm with you because I think that's the task of an evolving, awake human to open the mind to those possibilities. Unfortunately, as Maslow's hierarchy, which you learn about in the program, Matt, you know, it's when you're struggling to get through your life, you really don't have a lot of time energy to start to get philosophical. I think this is why a lot of people attach to dogmatic religions, because they're looking for a rescue. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's a perception too that's very common. And I think when we talk about shared realities, that people really believe those in authority have our best interests at heart. What do you mean the doctor doesn't have my best interest at heart? What you don't know is that the pharmaceutical company just gave him $1 million this year to experiment with drugs on his patients. And you didn't, but you'd say, why would he do that? My doctor would never do that. So we go into that cognitive dissonance. And again, I don't mean to harp on this, Matt, but it's all those things that, you know, you learn about through the IMHS program. And so we tend to give away our power to look for a rescue, rather than, I think, ask ourselves, what is my perception? How am I seeing this? And with whom am I sharing a reality? And maybe reality is not at all what we've been taught it is. Mm-hmm. Because it is about, we're just this tiny little planet here. And I think the universes are teeming with life. It's so arrogant to think that Earth would be the only one with some kind of life.
Well, I mean, we're obviously the best, but...
Well, because we're looking at it through our own eyes, aren't we? See, and again, that's a perspective.
And I think what you were also talking about is being able to appreciate and benefit and educate yourself from other people's perceptions and perspectives. Perspectives especially. One thing I've always been disappointed in is that largely in this life, I get one perspective, you know, and human beings, we have empathy, we can extrapolate our thoughts, we have imaginations, we can put ourselves in different scenarios, but you don't really know what it's like to live as somebody else. And we're limited to our perceptions, well, unless we are lucky, well, gifted enough would be another way to say it, to remember previous existences or lives. I need to drink a little bit of water, excuse me. But the reality is that reality is massive. It's big, and that we need more perspectives, more insight, share ideas.
But we all have to agree on something very basic. That propels us from the inside out.
Coffee is the only thing that can go in that cup, not anything else, not tea. Only coffee.
And three before I can walk a straight line in the morning, yeah. I think that this is where, like, I'm a real supporter and advocate for the nine principles of life, which you start off this program with every week. Mm-hmm. Just to, you know, go from there, because it's that universal, generic kind of spiritual touchstone to live from the inside out. And again, see the world from that inside out. Like, do no harm, but the disclaimer is do right. Well, what does do right mean to me? And as I go through my day, and then, well, how does that fit with what I'm being told or what's on the news or, you know, what I encounter with the boss or my coworkers? I don't see a lot of right stuff going on here, but I only need to check in with myself. We have to remember what's a contaminant to our expanding reality versus something we think we're expanding, but we're actually inverting. Does that make sense
in
a way?
Yeah, I think so.
That we're closing off because we want to attach to a singular view. And it's kind of like people I've met who believe they're the light workers. Well, I think everybody on the planet is a light worker in that way. But the light workers who are bringing consciousness to the planet and doing good. And I think that's great. That's what you believe. That's super.
There are those people that believe that it's a dog-eat-dog world and that everybody's out to get you. So I'm going to be out to get everybody else because that's the way the world is.
Yeah.
And perception relates to perspective, which relates to your actions, which relates to the creation of the world that you live in, yeah, which leads to other people's perceptions.
It's what a you
constant,
decide.
Exactly, yeah. And it's a constant cycle. Our perception, so, go ahead.
From one extreme to the other, this light worker saying, you know, the universe brought me here. I said, yeah, but you decided to agree. You see, so this is where in taking our responsibility back, you know, then that's part of it is you decide if it's a dog-eat-dog world. You decide if it's, oh, I have no choice because the universe sent me here. And kind of work more with synchronicity and observe synchronicities, observe entanglement, observe that the world is operating and the universe is operating in ways you can't imagine. And it's okay that it's outside your imagination and that you don't understand it. It only matters that you're open to observing.
Yes.
If that makes sense. So,
yes. One thing
I love this conversation.
I do too. And one thing I was just going to say is a point I was trying to make earlier on in the discussion of having those people that simply see a different reality that you have trouble finding common ground with because the world they see is literally different than the world you do. Different facts, different things are true. And one of the points I wanted to get at is I try to be more forgiving and less judgmental in my way by understanding that more often than not, it's not coming from a malicious place.
Exactly.
They're seeing the world they see. And even though I, in all my glorious wisdom, I'm sure, believe that people should have more emphasis on fact-checking and having a grounded view of reality and making sure that you're right, not just assuming it. But I have to accept that there are things that I think at this very moment that are true that I'm wrong about. And I need to be able to participate in the perspectives and perceptions of others to inform my own and to relate to, because a lot of times they'll match up.
You know, Dr. Jean has mentioned something in the chat while we've been talking. She said it's often challenging to tell people that you no longer consider yourself a Christian. I think what's really important, the first thing, when you have shifted away from a way that you've been taught in your life, like I was also brought up that way. But when you start to change away from that, don't apologize for it. And I think that's the first thing that former Christians feel badly for not belonging. And they feel badly for the other people. There's this guilt or a shame or something that goes on. Probably a whole bunch of emotions describe it. But the thing is, you don't have to apologize for changing. And it's probably easier to say, I don't practice Christianity, rather than saying, I'm not a Christian. That's an easier segue. I have no problem telling people I'm not a Christian. But I had to segue and get comfortable with myself because it's part of the deprogramming from when you're a child, you know, and what you've been indoctrinated to. So it's find ways that you're emotionally comfortable to segue. You know what you believe, but there's an emotional shifting that does take place. So I just wanted to throw that in because it's our perceptions of ourselves as well. And we're learning things that we didn't see before. So the more confident you get, the more you say, whoa, I mean, I wished I didn't have, I could have dumped that guilt 20 years ago.
Right.
So, but I didn't know any different.
The more educated and knowledgeable people are,
yes,
the clearer their perceptions are, the more accurate picture of reality they have, the more effective they will be. You cannot thank you. And you can't succeed in this life unless you have a clear view of what is real. But I digress.
Well, again, my old teacher Frank would say that there are very few facts in this world. There's it's a lot of opinions, but very few facts. The only fact we know is that we live on a planet and it's in a universe. And we look up and we see a moon and there's a sun. And those are the only facts that we can know. You know, it's like we're rotating, the planets are rotating. That's pretty much established fact, unless you're a fat, flat earther, you know. But, oh, we don't know where they go. So those are facts. Everything else is just a viewpoint and an opinion. And it really, if you really embrace that for a moment, it lets you off the hook. You know, I let myself off the hook, so it just makes my heart light to do, you know, lighter to do that.
Well, it makes me think of that physicist joke that there are the laws of physics and everything else is just an opinion.
Yeah, but, that's true. Yeah.
But
yeah. Anyway, great conversation tonight. I always enjoy talking to you, Michael, and having input in the chat. And thanks for everybody throwing little things in there. It's great. And yes, absolutely. Matt saying you can co-opt vocabulary to manipulate, and Dr. Edward is saying that, you know, metaphysics is completely the study of consciousness and reality, and Dr. Jean is saying change the inside, change the outside, and mm-hmm. You know, so thank you for all your comments in the chat. They're appreciated. I did put in the chat if anybody would like a card drawn tonight from our Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards, and Dr. Edward threw his name up there first. Michael, if you don't mind picking a card for Dr. Edward. We're just shifting gears here a little bit, moving along, because I looked at the time, I say, wow, we could talk all night.
I mean, that's what my plan was, but...
There we go.
Dr. Edward, I pulled number 26, Energy Signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness, resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others, you can only change yourself. And your own energy signature.
Yeah, it's all about energy signatures, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's just not always easy to find it. Like that thread in a blanket I talk about.
Not always easy to change either.
Matt, he's got his name up. And just to qualify, he's been enrolled at TF University quite a while. He does have his PhD, and I wasn't completely aware of that. Congratulations, Matt. And yeah, putting your doctor before your name helps us all out, but thank you for that. You know, I guess we don't know everybody in the school anymore, you know, so it's good to know that. And thank you for taking another one of my courses. That's awesome. That's great. So, Matt, you are up next. I'm drawing a card, Entropy. Ooh, we haven't had that one for a long time. It's in the wild card suit. And entropy always just a little bit confuses me, because it's kind of the opposite way. It's like the higher your entropy, anyway. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, low entropy. So you think about useful would be high, but useful is low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, which is high entropy. Their energy stands still because their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or a behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in the renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. So when one seeks to be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her entropy, and the world's a better place. So when you raise your, like when you're kind of useless and not good for much, your entropy's really high. and when you're useful and you're, you know, then you're lowering your entropy. Now, maybe this doesn't necessarily apply to you, Matt, but it could be a different way, again, perspective, perception of other people in your life. You know, it's a way of what's their entropy and what's their value? How are they contributing? And then how are we entangling with that kind of energy or that way to look at energy. You know, I've often had that conversation in my own mind about some folks, and I think, wow, what's their value? Like, what's their usefulness, their purpose? Because in my opinion, it doesn't seem to be one. But I guess there is a purpose. It's just, what's the entropy? Do you see? It's mm-hmm. like there's a purpose somewhere, even if I can't see it. And that would be their frequency of energy or their would entropic be a word, Michael?
We can make
entropic,
a word.
Okay, entropic value kind of approach
go.
To it.
What
so,
was the word we made up for our eighth planet last week?
Yeah, Uranus.
That's right.
I can't say it any other way. I'm sorry. you know, thanks, Dr. Edwards, in that he's saying to Dr. Matt, he's that Dr. Edwards also thinking about working on a second doctorate. Studying these topics can be addictive, but it's a good addiction. Thank you for saying that, Dr. Edwards. Good. And just for those who want to know, if you do go in for a second doctoral, that's really cool. You don't have to repeat courses. You just have to take additional courses that support that second PhD that you want to get. So, and people who have applied, let's say for, at least I think this rule still applies, if you've had the, you know, like a little discount or the scholarship program, when you go back for the second PhD, that doesn't apply. So now you come in as a full student. So just a few little tweaking things to know about, but it's great. We have, over these years, many students have gone back for extra courses. You can take extra courses without wanting a second doctorate, so there's that option also. So I'm good. I don't see any other names tonight for anybody if you kind of missed the moment. You know, our time, we do try to keep the program down to certain minutes for listeners in our archives as well.
You can only listen to me for so long.
Well, I think I've been the one that's been more talking tonight, Michael, but I love this topic. That's why I love this discussion. And I enjoy talking to you, Michael, and I enjoy everybody
it's my pleasure.
In the chat room. So.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk with you, Dr. Hunter. I love the subjects we've had this summer. And Dr. Kelly, of course, is just on hiatus from the program alone. Still working
yep.
at the school, the institute, and the church. And we're going to be discussing when we're going to be going back to our more traditional format. But for right now, we're enjoying the conversations. I know I am. I've personally been getting a lot out of it. So if nothing else, it's been... definitely providing me guidance, and I hope you all as well.
Well, you know, Cecilia, before we close tonight, Cecilia said she wants to do the metaphysical parenting course. I welcome you to take that course, but you know, that might be a really good discussion for next week. Michael, what do you think?
I think so too.
All right.
I can already think of a few things to talk about that, although I don't have the parenting perspective. I do have the child of a metaphysical parent perspective, so.
There you go. There you go. Well, it'll be a good discussion. So thanks to everybody for joining us tonight.
Thanks, everybody. Well, until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night.